The next one, a cutie, is a bumblebee.
Debatable. Some are cute. Some just look roughed up.
Well, the fluffy ones, like the ones that look like they have a nice, like,
a nice faux mink fur
jacket on.
It's a faux fur in your world and mine. Yes. They go for blood. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So this is a special episode. We're focusing in on insects.
Yes, all the creepy crawlies and flying things.
And the cute crawlies, too.
Yes, and we're going to talk all about them, and we're going to demystify...
Yeah, insects.
Insects.
So if you're creeped out by insects, stay tuned, because it's about to get really creepy.
It's going
to
get real.
It's going to get real. I don't even have a pun for that. I don't have an
insect. How
can
you not have an insect pun?
I don't know. So I want to start off with ant funerals.
Ant funerals.
Moment of silence.
All right.
Please. So according to this study published in the Journal of Biology Letters, the common red ant, not the fancy red ant, it's the regular
common,
red ant.
Common one.
Yeah, Myrmica rubra. They like to remove corpses quickly from their nests.
Why?
And it was believed that the reason why they remove dead ants from their nests is the same reason that we don't leave, like, dead people in our kitchens or, like, in our offices or anywhere near us.
It's like, why would we even ask?
Yeah, it spreads disease, but also it's depressing.
Yeah.
Right? It's a reminder of mortality.
Charlie.
So it says, scientists have long assumed that this behavior is based on the need to keep the rest of the colony healthy. Yes, because leaving a nasty old dead body around is going to breed disease. But until now, the idea hadn't been put to a formal test. So this is, once again, water is wet kind of syndrome, right? So a new study conducted by researchers at the University, the Free University of Brussels and the University of Liège in Belgium tested the health benefits of corpse removal in common red ant colonies kept in artificial nests. So they had two types of nests, some that had wide exits, so you could, I guess, process very easily, kind of New Orleans style.
Okay.
And then others had really narrow openings that made it difficult for the ants to get the corpses out.
How stressful and mean is this?
This is horrible. You know, I want to go to their house, and when their grandmother kicks it, I'm going to make sure they can't get her out the door.
Yeah, make a little tiny, like a basement window.
No, a cat flap.
It's the only thing they can
use. I'm going to have a cat flap and be like, just stay in there and eat with her.
So each
colony, the scientists fatally froze 10 worker ants. This is murder, writ large. They fatally froze and then put the corpses back in the nest. Can you imagine these ants being like, son of a bitch? Where did these come from? Who's not doing their job?
The body's cold.
Yes, the body's cold. It happened sometime before now.
Yeah.
The body's cold. Did anyone see anything? And then they monitored the survival of the remaining workers. So the result, the ants and colonies that couldn't remove the corpses didn't fare as well. By the end of the 50-day experiment, the mortality rate had doubled in the corpse litter colonies from 6% to 13%.
Oh, my God.
Some of them probably just died of fright and despair. They probably thought they were next.
Yes, and the mourning that they had to deal with.
Let's be clear. You're in your apartment, right? Everyone's alive. You come back, and there's six dead bodies in there. And you can't get them out. You can't get them out. You just have to deal with it for 50 days. And it says here, why the higher death rate? Can't tell for sure. Yeah, disease and also probably despair.
Yeah.
Shock.
Yes.
You know? Because ants are extremely social creatures. And the fact that they couldn't get them out was probably just too much for some of them to handle. Again, I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
This kind of thing.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. Yes. Little tiny.
Oh, what is it? Myrmica rubra. Yes. they come back, everyone's dead.
Oh.
You know? So it says here, researchers can't say for sure, but they speculate that corpses artificially staying longer in the nest may have increased the occurrence of microorganisms, requiring a greater investment in the immune system for the live ants. They were stressed, probably resulting in reduced lifespan. So the study shows a fundamental effect that everyone thought we knew, but no one really had tested. And it was just interesting because I'm reading this And it says the implications of course removal for a group health may also apply to other social animals like honeybees and prairie dogs. Please don't try this.
No.
On any other life form. It's bad enough. I mean, that's how soft-hearted that I am. That I'm like, really? You killed six ants and then stuffed them back, like snuck them in the night?
Oh, God. This is back so into cruel.
The, and they're in a fake nest, by the way. So these ants are living in like the ant matrix. Nothing is real.
And then they have this. What a nightmare.
Yep. Yeah. What a nightmare.
They're probably like crying.
Yeah.
And then the ant moms to their babies. Exactly. Are like,
is this what's going to happen?
It's
going to
be okay.
To me?
And they're like, we don't even know what.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. Where these guys come from? These aren't even our ants. Mm-hmm. And it says the situation is clear, right? Dead ants beget more dead ants. What if all of those ants were like one group? And it was like, and then the other groups break out and fight. Like, who did this?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know? I imagine don't. Like some kind of ant. Jacques. Some kind of ant CSI.
Yeah.
Situation going, it's but like, they can't figure anything out.
What, they have like ant gangs.
Yes.
The jets and the sharks.
Exactly. When you're a jet. This kind
you're
of thing. This
is
what happens
away.
To you. Cold. Six cold. All right, so that's my insect funerals and messing with insects. That's terrible.
Oh, my God. This world.
Just assume that's not what happens. You don't have to try it out.
To do this. That's cruel.
And they fatally froze them. So this is a weird thing, too. This is not how ants usually die.
Fatal freezing.
Yes. Does anyone know what happened to these guys? Never seen it before.
It's something new.
Yeah,
God,
something new.
It's a head scratcher.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just working over here. I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
I can't talk about this.
Okay, I have this little piece here about stick insects.
Okay. That makes me think of Kate Moss.
Yeah. And they speculate, again, scientists are speculating that...
Oh my God, what do they do to these things?
They're okay with birds eating their kids.
Huh?
And so I was like, I've got to read this. Somebody,
they're okay with it?
That's what the author says
okay.
of this article.
Are they taking their kids to birds' mouths at night, or like, what's happening?
In a surprising reproductive strategy, stick insects, which are eaten by birds
mm-hmm.
and don't lay a lot of eggs, have managed to persist from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
maybe
so
there's
just
an assload of them.
No, there's not, because there's not many of them, because they don't, they're eaten by birds a lot, and they don't make a lot of eggs.
Okay. And yet.
And yet they thrive.
Yeah.
So how is this happening?
Like Scandinavians. They don't have a lot
of
kids. They're still here.
A stick insect actually looks like a stick or twigs, and they're camouflaged, and they have
mm-hmm.
a better chance of avoiding their predators and reproducing and passing their stick resemblance gene to their offspring.
Okay.
The
stick resemblance gene.
Yeah, despite the fact that they are camouflaged, birds are not fooled.
Oh, really? Hey, check out these stick insects. How do you mean?
They're eating a
You know
lot.
That stick walking around on a leaf over there.
And they don't, stick insects don't run fast. Most don't fly. And the females typically don't lay eggs in large numbers. So it's like, what?
These guys just suck.
So basically what happens, like when the birds eat the stick insect and they have eggs in them, the eggs have this, they swallow the eggs whole.
Okay.
And so those seeds of the babies, they're still intact.
And they come out the other side intact.
They come out the other side.
Ah,
where,
so the bird's laying them for the stick insect.
Right. Wherever they may roam.
Okay.
So bird flies somewhere. So if you never had a stick insect in your yard.
Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised.
When Mr. Robin.
Comes along, leaves a little package for you. Nice. So this is how they spread?
Yeah.
Okay, I imagine a stick insect would be like, hey, over here, eat me. You know, like,
eat me and my children. Ha ha, the joke's on you.
Joke's on you.
Yeah, because the eggs there have a surprisingly hard shell with coating unique among insects.
Mm-hmm. Are the birds like, ugh, unsatisfying. And it got the runs.
Yes, basically. So they're in the digest.
So wouldn't you think at some point birds would be like, screw you, I'm not eating you.
Yeah.
I think these stick insects are taunting them.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some kind of link there, for the stick insect is just like, is a very, like a skinny creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the birds eat them and they can't really.
They can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I would think
and
over time,
the
birds
the
would
runs.
Be like, forget that guy.
Yeah.
Skip it. It's not tasty.
Well, maybe the stick insect they like, but then
they have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Just like eating like a lot of spicy Mexican food.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm going to eat it, but I know it's going to.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. We have to deal with it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I like that. So I found a thing here about which is Greek mythology, Titanus, which I'd never heard of before. He is spoken of as the god of insects.
Titanus?
So T-I-T-H-O-N-U-S. Titanus, Titanus, I don't know. Nothing to do with the ship.
Okay.
Just going to put that out there.
All right.
So Greek mythology.
So don't send any emails, listeners.
Yeah, don't send any emails. So in his youth, Titanus was so good looking that he attracted the attentions of Eos, the goddess of dawn, and she carried him off to be her lover.
Right.
So this is in the long tradition of gods abducting humans and having offspring.
Oh, he was human.
Yeah, he was human.
And he was fine.
And he was fine, girl. He got abducted. He fathered two children by her, Memnon and Amathion. And then Eos had other lovers as well, right? And so she was
busy.
A lot. Yeah, she's busy. She's abducting dudes left, right, and center. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But the love that she had for Titanus was more enduring than the others.
Oh.
And it survived until he got old and his hair turned white. And then finally she was like, you know what, enough. But even as he was old, she let him stay in the palace.
He was the favorite in the bunker.
He was the favorite, yeah.
Okay.
He was allowed to stay in the palace. And there he continued to eat ambrosia, which is the food of the gods, mm-hmm. which prolonged his life but did not stop the aging process. And he also was hooked up with some celestial brand clothing, apparently.
Celestial clothing.
Yeah. So this is like, you know, I guess the robes and garments
that
they
celestials
wear.
Okay.
However, he became so old that he began to lose the use of his limbs.
Oh.
But
that's old.
And his voice became feeble.
All right.
And so Eos then just shut him up in a bedroom and was like, that's it. Right. But she didn't want to kill him. She just let him get older and older and older.
Took away that ambrosia. It was like enough.
Yeah. So had nature been left to take its course, he would have just died because he was, but while he was shut away, Eos carried off another mortal, a boy called Ganymede, who was one of Zeus's favorites.
Okay.
So Zeus wanted Ganymede to be what it's called here, a cupbearer.
Okay.
I'm going to leave that out there where it is. But Eos wanted Ganymede as a lover. So she cut a deal with Zeus and she said, look,
wait, she wanted the cupbearer to be the lover?
Yeah.
Okay.
She wanted Zeus's cupbearer to be her lover.
All right.
So she made a deal. She was going to ask to... So Zeus got to keep the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, what do I get? And he was like, well, name your price. So she said that she wanted Titanus to be made immortal. But Zeus being Zeus, she didn't specify exactly...
Oh, isn't that the worst? If you don't specify...
Mm-hmm. She didn't specify... So Zeus granted her wishes, but unfortunately, because she phrased it so poorly, she demanded that her lover be given eternal life. She didn't say anything about eternal youth. So he continued to decay forever. And he was trapped in a disintegrated body. As he got older, his body became more decrepit. And finally, Eos took pity on him and turned him into a cicada.
Oh, no.
So as a cicada, he kept croaking and croaking. His one remaining desire was to be allowed to die.
It's like, please
mm-hmm.
kill
so
me.
That is the cicada, I guess. And he is known as the immortal who gained immortality but lived the rest of his life as an insect.
Oh,
he's known as like the
wow.
god of insects. Yeah. Pretty creepy, huh?
That is creepy. And just like, yeah, the cicadas bury themselves and then
mm-hmm.
they come back.
They come back so he can never die.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah. Interesting, huh? I mean, I was into Greek mythology when I was younger, but these kind of minor gods,
mm-hmm.
you don't hear about as much.
No, you only hear about the big ones. You always
yeah.
hear about Zeus.
You always hear about Hera. You know, never stops.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do you have?
Okay, I've got the top 10 deadliest insects in the world.
Okay. Are we doing from deadliest to least deadly?
I think that they're all just up there.
I see the number one most painful one on there.
This one is the bullet ant.
Yeah.
It's the largest of all ants in the world, and they're mostly found in rainforests in Nicaragua and Paraguay.
How big are they?
I don't know. The one-inch size bullet.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge for an ant.
Yes.
No thanks.
And listen to this. After the bite, the victim would feel like being shot.
Yeah.
That's why they're called a bullet.
I heard that it's incredible. Like, the pain is intense.
Yeah, the sting by a bullet ant is 30 times more painful than the wasp or a honeybee.
Wow.
So it's a one-inch size bullet ant. It's called the 24-hour ant by locals.
The 24-hour ant?
Yeah. Because one full day of pain followed by its sting.
Oh, my God.
For 24 hours, you feel like you've been shot.
Ooh. I mean, I hope they travel alone.
Each bullet ant colony contains hundreds of members, and they usually make a nest at the base of large trees.
Okay.
Not a good place for a picnic.
Be hanging out.
The bullet ants also release unpleasant odor once they found any predator.
Okay, so that you know.
Yeah, it is. So if you, something stinks.
Move it.
Yeah. Because if it doesn't work, they will attack.
Wow. So first they fart at you. And then, then they come for you wholesale. I like their style. Let them know.
Okay, now you got the bot fly.
Okay.
The larvae of the bot flies
Ew.
Are internal parasites of mammals. Unfortunately, the dangerous larvae also live beneath human skin and can cause horrific effects.
Ew. Are these the ones we've seen, like, in Candyman and stuff like that?
They're mostly found in Central and South America, and they make severe changes in skin tissues.
Why do they do this beating around the bush?
A young female bot fly laid eggs within the skin of mammals, and the larvae penetrate through the skin and lives in subdermal zones of human skin for more than 60 days.
So this is something that they that I used to hear that they would use in voodoo. So that they would put this in something that would get onto a person's skin or transfer it onto a person's skin, and that was like a, you know, you're cursed kind of thing.
And then it'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Because the patients could feel the movement of the larvae beneath their skin, and once they develop and it gets complete, they leave it, get out of the body somehow. Yeah.
Some, hey, you know how. Like, not in a good way.
Oh, it's nasty.
Yeah.
A flea. I was surprised to see it on the list, but yeah, they're...
The humble flea.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Fleas only are external parasites that suck blood from humans and birds and reptiles and anything. And they cause itching spots on the skin of hosts.
Okay.
Every female flea lays 2,000 eggs within her lifespan.
Okay.
They reproduce very quickly. They're the size of a head of a pin. There's about 2,000 species known, and they can they can consume the volume of blood that over 15 times their body weight.
Really?
Yes, and they usually bite. They give you red bumps, and they're around your waist, knees, and elbows.
I wonder why that is.
And they're so itchy, and they could lead to infection.
I've only had a pet that had fleas one time.
Yeah.
And this is when I lived in Eastern Europe, and the way that we treated it, it was a cat. So we submerged, and it was really difficult for the cat, but we didn't want to use any chemicals, and this is how they did it. I was like, fine. So you just start dipping the cat into water slowly, and the fleas run to the top. And then you get them off, and then you can, like, treat the
animal.
The cat
is like...
And the cat is just not... But it's better than having fleas.
Yeah.
I thought this was an interesting non-chemical way to deal with it, because apparently the fleas either drown or they try to escape the water, and then you can get them.
Yeah.
And once they're gone, then you go through and, like, comb, you know, through the animal or whatever.
The cat hates you for
that. I know, but what can you do?
All right, so then fire ants are the next.
Yikes.
There's 285 different species of fire ants. Once disturbed, they would sting the intruder repeatedly. The fire ant sting is very painful.
Hence the fire.
No, white pustule caused by the red fire ant sting lasts for weeks.
Wow. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes, and they usually attack in groups. So, there you go.
They don't come alone. One ant? Come on, what's he going to do?
There's the kissing bug.
Ew!
They're
Does this get transferred from mouth to mouth?
The kissing bug's named after their habit of biting the lips of humans while they're asleep. And they transmit parasites.
I bet they do.
And they kill like about 12,000 people every year because they spread disease from animals and pets, and they do, everybody.
So they themselves are not dangerous. It's that they spread the parasite from person to person.
Right, right.
This almost sounds like tropical stuff.
Yes. Then there's the TC fly that you always hear about.
Why is that one so popular? I feel like every day of our childhood we heard about the damn TC fly.
TC fly. Yes, it's a deadliest biting insect native to Africa, and they feed on the blood of vertebrates.
Mm-hmm. There must be some kind of natural immunity to it. Wouldn't everyone be, apparently, from what they told us, dead from the damn thing?
I know. They inject potent toxin on each sting. And about 500,000 people lose their life by the attack of the TC fly in Africa.
Every year?
I don't know about every year.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Just this.
Wow.
In the primary stage, the venom of the fly would make sleeping sickness on the victim, but then it leads to fatality without any proper treatment.
Yes, as we were told every day for some bizarre reason in elementary school.
Killer bees.
Of course. The killer bees. Are these Mexican killer bees?
No, these are Africanized. Africanized, of
yeah.
So basically, they're honey bees that are very aggressive and dominant.
They're revolutionary. They just want their rights?
The group of killer bees follows the victim for more than 1 mile.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, you better run fast, too, because they fly.
Yes, or start to negotiate.
And then they mostly target the face and eyes of humans.
Classy.
The toxin is not so dangerous, but the attack by a group could cause death.
Eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Once they get disturbed, the bees become alerted for the next 24 hours and would attack any animal or human that comes in their range.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is another thing. This is like, these are 70s, these last two, because I remember all this movie, like Swarm, and everyone's like, watch out for these killer bees coming from Mexico, and then they were coming from Africa.
They're really going to get you.
Yeah, they're always coming through Texas for some bizarre reason. The ants, too. There was a bunch of the floating ants that were making their way to, like, oh, where are they? 20 years later.
Still not
haven't
here.
Seen one of them.
Yeah, driver ants, it's the largest colony of any insect in the world. Each colony of driver ants has members up to 22 million.
Wow.
All right. Even elephants run away from the group of an attack of driver ants because they try to finish off any animal that comes across their path. They make repetitive wounds on an animal and humans using their strong mandibles.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. And where are they located?
And they also raid the nests of other insects for food and kill them.
Of course. I mean, just generally unpleasant ants all around.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember when I've seen leaf cutter ants.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're fascinating. But there was, when I was in Costa Rica, they took us to a tree where there had been, at the base of it, there was a gigantic anthill that was hundreds of years old. Like people have talked about it throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they have some kind of like fungus inside that they cannot live without. And so they farm it and they keep it going. But this thing had been there like through colonial times, like before colonial times. Like, I mean, it was just like fascinating to see that they could keep this thing going. They were harmless, right? So,
if
you don't mess with them, obviously they're not going to mess with you. But it was just, it must have been maybe like 4 or 5 feet tall. I mean, it was really, really big.
Wow.
It was fascinating.
Wow.
I like ants.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Speaking of which, I have some things here, more insects. This is 4 intense ways that insects sacrifice themselves for the good of the colony. So they make the ultimate sacrifice, right?
So that'd be like a great war movie of
yes.
A kind of like a Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, Platoon kind of or something like that. So this is in the rainforest of Borneo. There's an ant called that goes by Colobopsis explodens, because
what?
That's what it does. It's called AKA C explodens. When locked in battle with other ants for the colony, C explodens, the workers, C explodens workers, bring the fight to an end by they rip themselves apart and spew noxious fluid all over the enemies.
Oh, God.
So they just rip their chest open. They tear their legs off. And they spray the enemy with it.
It
stops whatever's trying to get in from getting in. They have this stuff. It's like a yellow gooey substance.
Mm-hmm.
So it coats the outside of them. But it's They pull themselves apart. They contract their muscles until their abdomen and internal glands rupture, and the fluid goes everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So if an enemy bites into it, so it could be another ant or another insect, whatever. If an enemy bites into the poisonous goo, it loses control of its limbs and dies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it just does a cabbage patch and then falls apart. otherwise, if it doesn't die, if it doesn't bite into it, the goo gets on it and it just can't move. So it just literally stops enemies in their track. And also, if the after it dies, the sea explodes the mandibles, they don't release their grip on the body. Uh-huh. They're with you. That's it. Like, oh, once they bite into you, that's it. They bite in, they explode, they're staying.
Oh my God. You're done.
And they say it's because it's really difficult if you have a dead ant hanging from you to move, if you're another ant. Or
well,
insect.
Yeah,
that's
I would
it.
Imagine if you're the same size.
No, you just have to stop.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if you just saw another body just gloms onto you and that's it? You got to drag that thing around? You just have to get it. You're done.
Have a drink.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, you know what? I'll just bite you and then, you know, I'll seize up, do the cabbage patch and pass out. So this is an insect that was, they discovered it, quote unquote, for the first time in 1935. So that's one way to go. There's another insect that does this, the termite. There's a termite found in French Guiana. They have what is called explosive backpacks. So listen to this. As they get older, as they get older and they're less useful to the group.
Okay.
They are less valuable to society. They can't perform all the functions. They carry on their back two pouches of crystals, basically, from the salivary, and they have salivary glands, and they can mix the two together when they need to defend the group, and they explode.
Get out.
Yeah, they're suicide bombers, basically, and they carry their fluid with them.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That is so crazy.
Yeah, that's what they do. There's another technique of something called a Matabele ant from sub-Saharan Africa. They hunt termites. And apparently the termites put up a fierce fight. So the workers that lose a limb or two during the raid, if they're able to... So these ants do a no man left behind. Mm-hmm. Like, say you're in the battle and you lose, like, two limbs, but you can get up.
Yeah.
They'll carry you away.
Oh.
But if you lose, like, five limbs
and you can't get up,
they'll still try to carry you away. But you'll be like, no, man, no, let me live. Let me die here. Let me die here. You fight them all.
Go on without me.
Yeah, go on without me.
Yeah.
So they do that.
Wow.
They will try to, like, fling the other ants away from them and be like, it's not worth it, man. I'm done here.
Wow.
It was an honor to serve.
The drama.
Yes.
They should get the Oscar. Yes. Steven Spielberg should get on this story.
Yes, these ants are doing it and doing it and doing it well. So they actually checked this out by placing ants in that had been, like, you know, seriously injured, and they saw that no one, you know, they were fighting them off. And there's another one called, it says here, preemptive action. Some insects will give up their own life even when there's no imminent danger. These guys are like...
These drama queens. Like, oh, God.
Let me at him. It's like, dude, nothing happened.
I saw him look at your side eye. That's side eye.
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I just gotta say something. So when there's an ant, a Brazilian ant, when sunset falls, they seal up the entrance to their nest. Apparently their nest is pretty easily gotten into, basically. So they leave
front
eight,
door open.
Yeah, they leave eight guys outside and they close it up.
Oh.
And then generally they're stuck out there and then they either get eaten by other ants or they blow away. Oh. So every night they lose eight guys.
Oh my God.
Yeah, probably not the best guys though. And then there's an aphid that is in
probably
Japan.
Probably not the best guys. Come on.
I know. They drew the short end of the ant stick. It's like, oh, man.
Sing a song. Get a nice meal.
Yes. There's an aphid called Nipponaphis monzeni. It springs into action when its home is threatened. These bugs live together in swellings on the outside of a tree. And when researchers drilled holes into the tree, the aphids that are living inside immediately come out and start secreting bodily fluids to repair the damage. And then most of them die. They either get stuck in it or they just excrete their little hearts out, literally. And then,
That's it.
You know, he was a nice guy.
They excrete their hearts out.
He was a wonderful gal.
I was excreting my heart out.
Yeah. And then there's also the exile. So when an ant gets sick and they feel like they're going to spread something to the rest of the group, or a bee, they wander off.
They do it that way. That's noble.
Yeah, it's a good way to go. Or they're forced out and we can't tell.
That'll be the name of the movie, The Noble Aphid.
The Noble Aphid, I like it. I like the suicide ant.
Yeah. I like the whole thing of mixing the two ingredients together. It's like, look, I've got it here.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's like the equivalent of the guy in the Alien movie who's holding on to, like, a bunch of grenades.
Yeah.
And is, like, struggling.
Yeah,
and pulls
yeah.
the pin at the last second. That's those guys. But and it's Grandpa, though, in this case. Because he's old.
Aww.
It makes sense. It made me think about, like, why are you sending out your youngest people?
Yeah.
Why aren't you sending out people who don't have, you know, who are like, you know what, I had a good life.
Yeah.
Let me do this.
And again, maybe they're not the wisest ones either.
Yeah.
Maybe there are wise ones that
yeah, well,
don't,
it's
get,
not
the,
that
don't
guy.
Get the suicide.
Yeah, you're not putting your Einstein out there.
No.
You know? You're putting like Ernest Goes to Camp is out there.
Yeah.
That's who's out there. You know?
Oh, man.
All right, what do you have?
I have the top cutest insects.
Okay.
Talking about
subjective.
Danger and fear.
Oh, yeah.
And
but now, nice. Oh, we talked about heroism.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the cutest, the number one, everybody agrees.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
The ladybug.
Yeah, the ladybug. I love ladybugs.
They really are beautiful.
When I taught second grade, I did a segment on ladybugs. You've never seen small girls happier.
Oh, my God.
It was a whole month of ladybugs. All you could, every day, all even if it was just mad. Yay!
That's like the only bug I could let crawl on me.
Oh, I love ladybugs. Yeah. And they have the little wings.
So cute. The next one, a cutie, is a bumblebee.
Debatable. Some are cute. Some just look roughed up.
Well, the fluffy ones, like the ones that look like they have a nice, like,
a nice
faux
mink
fur jacket on.
It's a faux fur in your world and mine.
Yes.
They go for blood.
They look like striped pillows with wings.
Aww.
That's what some people say. Butterfly, come on, we all know it.
Again, debatable. If you look at them in the face.
Yeah, that's.
The
proboscis. No, that's a moth.
Yeah. No. The
butterfly
has a
proboscis. Yeah.
I don't like that. It looks shady.
And some people are saying that moths are cute, some don't.
How?
I don't know. I run.
Have you ever seen a death's head moth?
No.
Like, they're really, if you go, I think it was, where was I, in Mexico? The ones that are really, they're, like, bigger than the size of your hand,
mm-hmm.
and they're, on the back of it, it looks like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Basically. Not cute.
No.
If you're in a bathroom, and you look up, and you see a bunch of those, mm-hmm. they're really big. They look, anything that looks like it could cover your face,
yeah.
not down with it.
And they come, and when they fly at you erratically.
Yes.
You don't know where they're going to land.
It's like, get it together, do formation. Up in this piece. Okay, what do you... Is that it?
That's it for the cuties, and I have...
There are no other cute...
Yeah, not really.
Caterpillar?
Well, there's other ones, but it's hard to talk about them without the pictures.
True. Okay.
So
these are the most cute and recognizable ones
so
that are out there.
We'll stop with that.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. What do you have?
So, of course, we couldn't talk about insects without talking about the Spanish fly.
Oh, God.
So, this is something I'd always hear when I was a kid. I had no idea what it was. I heard it in a couple of rap songs,
mm-hmm.
maybe in some rock and roll songs. So, Spanish fly...
That rock and roll.
...is supposedly an aphrodisiac.
Okay.
In reality, it's a poison.
Oh,
so God. In 1869 in Nigeria, a bunch of French troops who were stationed there,
mm-hmm.
probably shouldn't have been there, but whatever, they were there. They went to their physician because they were suffering from stomach aches, they had dry mouth, and they felt weak and nauseous,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't get it down.
Oh.
They had persistent erections,
ah.
and they were like, what's going on? So they had been eating frog legs, and they could, because French, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was. And it's because the frogs in this part of the world eat the melodi or the blister beetle, which is also known as Spanish fly.
Oh.
So it's one of their main foods. So they were consuming the frogs who had eaten a lot of the Spanish fly.
All right.
And it was making them hard. Right. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. So This is what Spanish fly is. It's basically inside of this thing called a blister beetle. It's not a fly at all, and it's not Spanish.
Okay.
It's like one of these things. It has a bicyclic terpenoid called cantharidin. It's odorless and colorless, a poison, basically. And people have known about it for a millennia.
Mm-hmm.
So it was used during Greek times for dropsy. And the traditional Chinese medicine uses it to treat piles, ulcers, and rabies. Not saying that these things work, but this is what people were using it for as a medicine. So it is absorbed by the skin, by through your skin. Since the 50s, they've used it to treat warts and other viral skin conditions. I didn't know that. But they're saying basically you should never ingest it or put it onto yourself.
Okay.
Right? And so when you hear about like people using Spanish fly, it's actually, you know, they're probably because they're getting sick. The Marquis de Sade got done for giving it to prostitutes in chocolate.
Oh, my God.
As if either of them needed that.
Wait a minute. So he would give it to prostitutes?
Yeah, to make them to make them aroused. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you're paying these ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The Marquis de Sade, whoever you're paying. So basically what happens is if you have too much of it, it can strip away your stomach lining. And then it damages your kidneys because they're trying to purge it from your blood, and that causes swelling in the urinary tract, and some people mistake that as arousal.
Oh my God!
Right, so you're your body's trying to get everything out, and it's trying to get things out through the penis, and as a result, it swells up. So for beetles, however, it actually is an aphrodisiac.
Oh,
so for these, the male beetle squeezes this cantharidin from his knees, right? Rolls it into a ball and places it on his head for the female beetles to sniff. If she likes what she smells, then, you know, they proceed to hit it, as it were. And if she takes the offering, right, the whatever it is, smears it all over her eggs, and it keeps the unhatched offspring from being eaten.
Oh, no kidding.
So it has two purposes. It attracts the mate, but then also the female can use it on her eggs to safeguard
them.
Oh,
wow.
Also, males from a different species use it to attract women from their species. So there's some beetles out there who don't have this aroma.
At all. So they're like, I need this.
They look around for dead beetles, or they try to get it in whatever way they can. And then they put it on to themselves.
Get out. That's funny.
So they're
That's
using
really
another,
funny.
Not to be outdone. Birds also use it.
No.
So birds take this from themselves, for themselves, and they use it in their tree holes, to keep squirrels away. Because apparently squirrels are repelled by it.
Okay.
So they don't like the Spanish fly. But birds use it, and so it's squirrel repellent.
So instead of the birds and the bees, there's the squirrels and the flies, yes. And it's a whole different story.
But I like that the fire-colored beetle from another species just is using some other guy's, you know, come on line. He's, you know, he's using someone else's pickup.
Yeah. That's really funny. Well, you know what? It's kind of like other guys using Barry White songs.
Yeah. It is. It totally is. So this guy goes out looking for someone else's album.
Yeah.
Puts it on, stands like, behind it.
It's like, hey,
and
like
mouths
this?
To it.
Yeah.
And then it works. Yeah, so this fire color bees, they go around looking for dead or dying blister beetles to lick, to get the stuff off of them.
Wow.
To attract mates. So Spanish fly is an aphrodisiac, but for beetles.
Okay.
Not for people.
Well.
And birds use it as a squirrel repellent. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Insects. All right, what do you have?
I have a couple of horrifying stories.
Okay, back
about
to the
insects.
Horror.
All right. So here's a couple of people who shared their worst experience with bugs. Ready? Number one.
I didn't have a chance to get ready.
I was living in a pretty rundown rooming house. I hadn't used my blow dryer in a few months.
Huh? Okay, you know what, lady?
When I finally did, I turned it on and a colony of a million cockroaches exploded onto my face.
Oh! Oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Talk about egg on your face.
Okay, this is another one. I mixed up a big glass of Nestle's Quick in ice cold milk. Yum.
Hold the phone.
At the first mouthful, I felt something odd and huge on my tongue, and I spit out a huge cockroach.
Are these all cockroach related?
No.
Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right.
Okay. I'm making a Home Alone face.
I know. I took a breath.
And I'm not squeamish. I'll pick a roach up.
I must be.
If I have to. If you're in my house, I'm putting my hands on you.
Okay.
You had your chance. You had your chance. Don't come in here.
I must have had about 10, and like most kids that age, had a recorder for music class.
Aw.
Yeah. I hadn't played the thing for months and found it lying on my closet floor.
There's a theme here.
When I put the recorder in my mouth, several earwigs that had inhabited instrument decided my mouth looked like a better home. Earwigs in my mouth.
Ooh. I get the moral of the story is just shake things first, people.
I woke up in bed covered in hundreds of centipedes. They were curled up next to my head, crawling over my face, and even curled up around my nether regions. I have no idea why it happened.
I'm sorry. Again. How did they get there before she woke up? Like, I would think, like, you know, a dozen of those would wake me up.
Yeah.
Nether regions?
Yeah.
Yo. Yo.
When I was a teenager, I worked as a hotel maid. One day while I was cleaning a room, I noticed there was a ton of dust on the very top of the blinds. These windows went all the way up to the ceiling, so I'd use one of these super long duster things and stand directly underneath it to reach it. Then all this dust started falling in slow motion, and I realized it wasn't dust, but several hundred baby spiders. They were raining down on my face, into my hair, down my shirt, everywhere. I spent the rest of my shift picking baby spiders off myself.
Oh, those are the worst. I've unfortunately had a similar situation. I thought, because I used to spend a lot of time running around barns.
Ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly Charlotte's Web type either, folks.
Ugh.
They didn't say.
No.
Hey, we're still here.
Yeah, right? They're not that cute. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
We'll help you with your spelling.
Okay. Sure you will.
I grew up on an island and had to take the ferry to the mainland to go to school. If you missed the normal ferry, you had to take the freight boat, which carries all the garbage trucks.
Scrub ferry.
Mornings are not my thing, so naturally one day I found myself walking between the
garbage
trucks.
As a child,
trucks.
Mornings are not
my Yes. In the worst kind of walk of shame imaginable. When the ferry hit the dock, I was smack in the middle of the freight dock, and the garbage truck started raining maggots. Like, the maggots came out.
Oh, my God.
All right. Get ready.
This is the worst one.
Well, my family was preparing presents on Christmas Eve.
Oh, what a nightmare.
I went to tie a bow around one of the presents and noticed a moderately sized bug on the floor.
What does that mean?
I looked around to see the room to see dozens upon dozens, probably hundreds, of these bugs everywhere. They were baby praying mantises.
What?
Yes. It seems the praying mantis laid eggs in our Christmas tree, and the warmth from the lights made them hatch early. To top it off, praying mantises are endangered in the state, so where we live, to the exterminator, couldn't get rid of them, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom was running around with a fly swatter and the bug spray, and my older brother was trying to catch them in a jar, yelling, "You can't kill the bugs. God made them for a reason."
Well, not that reason.
And that Christmas, our fully decorated tree sat outside on the curb. We found dead praying mantises all around the house for months afterwards.
Oh, I remember that as a kid, because in Maryland, where I'm from, we used to have really large, like, oh, this is the size of your hand, like praying mantises. Yeah. And we were always told you can't kill them.
Right, yes. I've seen them and I was told no.
And I don't remember seeing a lot of them, so maybe they were endangered. I don't know. Bizarre.
Yeah.
So I have a thing here, speaking of insects. Well, I mean, the whole thing's about insects, isn't it?
Yeah.
South Africans in shock as special milk from insects enters market.
What?
If you get nauseated easily, maybe don't listen to this part. So basically, it's called Ento milk.
Ento milk.
I guess Ento, like, you know, insect.
Mm-hmm.
Ento milk, a special milk produced from farmed insects in South Africa from a company called Gourmet Grub. Two B's. So scores of people are already not enthused by the product, it says, raising safety concerns, but the company behind it has been emphasizing nutritious benefits of insect milk. They say it's sustainable, nature-friendly, nutritious, lactose-free, delicious, and guilt-free dairy alternative for the future. It has a high level of protein, rich in minerals such as calcium, iron, and zinc. And they're saying about 2 billion people around the world are already eating insects as part of their diet. And then people have been eating ants and beetle larvae and things like this in Africa and Australia as a part of their diet for years. Fine. We all know about this, yeah. right? Locusts, fried locusts, beetles. Friend of mine came back from Mexico. Moths. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I'm reading this article. I'm like, what kind of milk is it? Right? Because in the picture, there's an insect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, surely it can't be. And yes, it is. It is cockroach milk.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep.
Now, when you say milk.
I don't know. I couldn't get any more information than that.
Yeah.
Cockroach milk.
Is it because, you know, when they make almond milk, they soak an almond. When they make cow milk, they milk a cow.
Yes.
What are they doing?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Although I do know that some of the largest insects in the world are cockroaches. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they are farming these mofos or what's going on, but I'm not ready for this.
I'm not either.
I'm okay to go ahead and have soy milk and nut milk or just not fucking have milk.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. No. If it goes to...
You don't have to eat everything.
Yeah.
You don't.
At one point, I worked in this building and there were like a lot of people worked. It was like a big, big building. And so often promoters would come in with different things trying to...
Oh, you mean because they had like tons of offices in it?
Yeah. So they'd be in the lobby and they'd give away free samples of stuff. And so one day there were these vendors with ice cream and crickets, freeze-dried crickets as the topping on the ice cream. And they're like, do you want to try like the crickets? You know, because no. insects are going to be the thing that we're eating next. And... You know, they tried to give it to you with ice cream so it would be palatable. And I was just like, really? I talked to them for a while, and I was just like, they're like, yeah, you know, like, it's no big deal. And, like, all the cool kids are doing it. They didn't say those words, but it was like.
That was the implication.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, so what? And this is, people do it, and this is what's happening. This is, like, the new cool thing. And I was just like, I'm sorry, but you can't really sell insects as the new cool thing.
No, at first of all, it's not new.
Yeah.
And so here's my thing. Like, I'm already a vegetarian. Like, I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm already doing part. I get plenty of protein. I'm good.
Yeah. You don't need this.
No, I feel like I mean, if you want to eat it, that's fine. And I also wonder, too, for a lot of cultures, like, so my friend who just came back from Mexico, she said they had, like, lots of candied bees and candy. But it wasn't the main thing that people were eating. It was kind of like a fun side thing.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a like you would have, yeah, like, kind of you would have, like, a crispy snack.
Yeah.
It wasn't the entree.
Yeah.
It wasn't really even the appetizer. It was just kind of, you know.
An amuse.
Yeah, an amuse-bouche or whatever. Yeah. Like, that kind of a thing. Because you know what will happen if we start eating insects. There won't be any.
Yeah. They're needed.
Yes, we need them for other things.
We need them.
We can't just eat everything. Why is that the answer?
Eat it.
Yeah.
Eat it or make it work for you.
Yeah. Some things can just be. Can a butterfly just look nice?
Yeah.
No, you got to fucking eat it or put it to work.
Yeah, right.
Give it a rest.
They're already doing their job.
They're all, yes, they have a job. You know what? Maybe it's not for you.
Yeah.
Or for me, but it's a job.
And they're doing it well.
Yeah.
Insects are everywhere. This is why insects are important. So without insects, our lives would be vastly different. Insects pollinate many of our fruits and flowers and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
We would not have much of the produce that we enjoy and rely on without the pollinating services of insects, not to mention honey, beeswax.
They also clean up.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't like roaches, but they're doing some work.
Yeah, they feed on endless array of food. Many insects are omnivorous, meaning they can eat plants, fungi, dead animals, decaying organic matter, and nearly anything they encounter in their environment.
You may not like maggots, but who's going to do that work?
I know.
You going to eat a dead bird? I'm not.
Coming here, taking our jobs, these insects.
Yes, coming over here, eating our dead birds.
Yeah. Others are specialists in their diet, which means they may rely on only one particular plant or one specific part of a plant to survive.
Yeah, we're probably getting rid of those plants.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Because those plants were working for me.
And many insects are either predatory or parasitic on plants or other insects or animals, including people, okay? But we need this balance in nature. We need it all.
Yes.
To do.
And you know what? And it's not our, we don't know what the balance is. But I think that's what we're starting to figure out now, is that we don't know what the actual balance is.
Yeah.
So when you move one thing, there's a huge chain reaction. I don't think we're aware of what all those, you know, what all the reactions are.
Right.
Because, like, again, I don't like roaches, but I'm pretty sure we have to have them.
Yes.
Like, I'm not sure why.
Yeah, they insects are...
But it's here.
Primary and secondary decomposers. Without them, all our wastes, dead animals, plants would accumulate.
Yeah. Rats, I don't like rats either. And when we have a lot of them in New York City, it's a sign that we have too much garbage.
Yeah.
Right? That's not being processed.
Yeah, their insects are underappreciated.
They get no respect. We get no respect.
And they make the world much more interesting. And they spread. They also help pollinate and spread around goodness. What about, you know, think about the stick insect.
Exactly.
And the bird pooping it out.
That's a great story. Look what she's doing. It was a great story. It's got legs. So the, because I had an article about, I was reading some articles about robot insects.
Yeah.
So we always think about, like, what robot insects can do to help us, but we're not thinking about that ant. That grandpa ant who, like, makes a little explosion on his backpack and is like, what about me now, motherfucker? Like, where's that guy? This is why we can't screw around with biomimicry, people. We don't know what we're going to get. What if you make a little robot ant, he sees that, reads that article, is like, what, huh?
Oh, and then I need to.
I could do this?
Yeah, right?
What am I doing with
it's
my
like,
life?
Yeah, Stan? It's like you build a robot, you say, read everything about ants, and then you do all of that.
Yes. What if it reads that one article?
Yeah.
And be like, I can save us all. I can save us all.
Oh, my God.
You know, I have a higher purpose. I'm not just supposed to be, you know, milling around here in this anthill. Where all these dead guys come from? What the hell?
Yeah. Everybody's dying. I'm taking everybody out.
Yeah. Swiss cheese or whatever. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.